Civic City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting will now come to order. It is December 12th. We are meeting at the in virtual and in person at the Kiawanda Community Center Faye Jensen Room. I'm first going to read the rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. All persons will refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. All persons in attendance will refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. All persons will be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions. Roll call. Director Gogas.
Here.
Director Carlton.
Here.
Director Price.
Here.
Director Strotska.
Here.
And I am Tom Donahue. I am the chair. And we have two guests at this time in person from Civic City Sun, Tim and Jeb Pepitcher, virtually. Minutes of November 14th, 2023. Are there any corrections or omissions?
Well, Cameron was here in person, weren't you last
night? Yes, I was.
That's what I noted that also.
Yeah.
Are there any other corrections or
additions?
Okay. I would entertain a motion at this time.
I'll move to approve the Civic City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting minutes of November 14th, 2023.
As amended?
As amended, thank you.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by stating aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Have those in opposition signify by saying nay. Motion carried.
Abstain. I wasn't here, so I need to abstain.
Excuse me.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Vacation.
One abstention.
Kind of.
We're thinking.
Financial report, accounts payable for November 15th and November 30th, 2023. Are there any discussion or comments?
Aye.
Director Gogas.
Oh, she's not here. Well, John, I guess.
You got a lot of them?
Just a couple.
Rochelle was supposed to log in, but I don't think she has. But I can probably do pretty well, Cameron. We may have to get back to
that's
you
all
on
right.
a couple.
It was Amazon Business on Horn Creek Hypo Pump Update. Amazon, what do they got to do with Horn Creek? I think it was probably a typo or something on that one.
What?
That's right on the first page, fourth one down.
I'm thinking it was probably some obscure part. We needed to connect that hypo pump to our SCADA system, but I'll have to get back to you.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, how come Amazon?
Yeah.
Are we ordering stuff from Amazon as far as office stuff?
Because Amazon has everything, Ken.
Yeah, well, we do order through Amazon Business on, from time to time.
So we're using two business. Do we... Does she go ahead and compare as far as pricing to try to get the best deal?
Are you talking about office supplies?
No, well, anything in general.
I think we go through Quill for most of our just general office supplies. We have for a long time. But, as Kathy pointed out, you can find just about anything on Amazon. And so we have a business account that gives us preferred pricing. And so we do order from them from time to time.
From Amazon?
Yeah.
Ooh. And then there's Consolidated Supply, water inventory.
I noticed several.
Water?
Bottled water that we keep in.
About water supply, I think it has to do with just general parts for inventory, does it?
Well, yes, but that's a strange way to call it.
Water supply.
Well, there's several mills like that.
Yeah, let me get back to you on that, because that's pretty vague, too. But I will definitely get back to you with a response to that.
And garbage. We do that every 2 weeks, right?
I believe our garbage is every week.
Oh, and that dumps that box back behind the...
It actually dumps a couple of dumpsters. We've got a general refuse dumpster, and we also have a dumpster for our grit from our headworks.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we order uniforms from two places then?
Well, we have uniforms cleaned from one company, and I think that we order them from somebody else.
Alsco does the cleaning on your uniforms, doesn't it?
They do.
And the rugs?
They do.
Right.
And we did get some...
Sandy Rivers, I think, the company that you buy things from.
Rider
shirts and stuff.
We did buy some work pants and some work shirts recently.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that it? All right. If there are no other notes, I will accept a motion, please.
I will move that we approve the accounts payable for November 15th and November 30th of 2023.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the accounts payable for the month of November. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. And all those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Okay. The general ledger, item 6B for fiscal year 23-24. Any comments about it? We're halfway through the year. No comments. We'll move on to the manager's report, item 7.
Thank you, Tom. Couple of things to bring up. RUPL reached substantial completion today. The last services have been connected, and the old 2-inch line has been abandoned at this point. So, good news on that. I know that the contractor is now wanting to meet with the county to talk about expectations for restoring the road. We had obtained a road construction permit from the county for this project a long time ago. In that permit, you've got general requirements and then you've got special requirements. As I think everybody remembers, there is a short section of the road down on the south end that has to be paved, where the pipeline transitions from one side of the road to the other and then back again to avoid our sanitary sewer line. It is a difficult thing to attempt to restore a road like RUPL to original condition, whatever that means. Because of that, the contractor, even though we have guidelines in the permit for how to restore the road, the contractor would like to meet with the county just to get some more detail on the expectation, because this is not going to be an easy thing to measure in terms of whether we've restored it to original condition or not. I think what is going to happen is there'll be some parts of the road that are better. There'll be some parts of the road that where maybe a pothole got a little bit bigger with all the road traffic. Overall, the condition of the road as a whole should be improved. That doesn't mean that every single spot is improved, but it means as a whole there will be some improvements made to the road. Nothing extravagant, but I think in a situation where you have like a road like RUPL, that's about all you can really do. Of course, if this was a brand new paved road before we started the excavation, we would know exactly how to return it to original condition. This is going to be a little trickier. So The contractor is going to meet with the county, I think, next week to review the county's requirements or what the county would like to see in terms of restoring the road. And once they have that additional guidance, they will be moving forward with that process. Of course, we now know that because of the delays with this project, the paving and the weather right now aren't exactly a good match. I will say a day like today, we probably could have got some paving done if they were ready to do so. So there's still some hope that here in the next month, the next 45 days, that they can get this job completed, get the road restored to the county standards, and to be able to squeeze in whatever paving work needs to be done.
Don, I got a question on that. Anytime that we do work on a block, anytime we dig a hole in asphalt, put it in, work on it, and do it up to a year that we're responsible, how is that going to work with this? Because we're going to have some more flooding, and how are you going to pack an asphalt without, you know, eroding, you know, where how it breaks down and the flood waters and...
Yeah, no, it's a challenge. That's why we really wanted this project to be completed by now. We're responsible for the road for a year. All the road cuts until they're paved have to be maintained with the gravel, whether it means bringing in more gravel, recompacting it, whatever that means. And then even once the road is paved, that's really when the one-year clock starts. And because it's our responsibility, we're the permit holder, it's our responsibility to make sure that that road is maintained for a one-year period. Because it's our responsibility, it's also the contractor's responsibility.
For that year's time.
So
it's going to be on him
It's going to be on him, and it's definitely incentivize him to get the paving done, because the paving is going to be easier to maintain and will last longer than the gravel in the road cuts.
Does I understand that he is going to do the paving himself?
He is going to do the paving, or maybe a better term for it is the patching of all the potholing that was done, of all the road cuts. The actual strip of road that needs to be completely paved will have to be done by a subcontractor. Yeah, but he can do all the other paving with just restoring the road cuts. Lots of questions.
Yeah, I got another one. Yeah.
So are the fire hydrants all installed and done?
They installed, I believe they got the last fire hydrant installed today.
Okay.
There was a small delay. There was a delay in getting that done because the existing water line was in the way, and they weren't able to cut it out of the way until it was decommissioned, which just happened this morning.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I saw they weren't done last week.
Yeah, they've got that one hydrant. They were working on it when I was there late morning today. I'm guessing it's probably done.
Okay.
How does that affect, would he have the right to have an extension over that?
No, this was not anything that would have held them up. They needed to get the services connected and get the new pipeline into service. Part of their scope of work was to decommission the old pipeline, and this is just something that they just had to wait until that was done to do. But they've actually still got a blow off that they've got all the below grade infrastructure put in for the blow off. But when I was there this morning, they had not put the riser on the blow off. So there's a couple of small things, but what defines substantial completion is whether the water line is in service and all our customers are connected.
Okay. Yeah. And that happened today?
That happened. Well, most of our customers were connected a week ago. They got all of them done but six, but because of the weather, they had to delay the connection of the last six until yesterday.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Oh, Tom's the chair.
Yes. I have
enough.
Back to the paving, just for the moment, because you mentioned that the straight cuts will be done by Earthworks, the broader cuts, because of the zig across the road, will be done by a subcontractor. Couple of things. This time of year, it's been my observation that the major paving plants are not operating at this time of year, so materials are difficult to come by, and that makes me wonder, and my concern is that those two pieces of the repaving be done with the same materials, because narrow cuts can be done with different materials than big pieces. So
yes,
I have a concern about those being the same quality of work.
And they will be a little different, because in those two locations, we're talking entire road paving. We're not talking about patching a road cut. The county, because of the transition, worried about the
right.
wheel traffic over the excavation, wants those to be, wants the entire road to be paved in those two locations.
Right.
I'm guessing it might be 25 to 50 feet worth of road in two spots.
But these narrow cuts are cuts that we've made all over town for years.
Yes.
And they're repaved with basically the same material that the road's paved with. And
yes.
there's a lasting quality to that, in my lay observation, higher quality material. And so I don't expect an answer, but I have a concern about the two different
just being different in quality and in appearance and other things.
Their everlasting qualities.
Okay.
Because some materials break down faster than other materials, and I have a concern about the different approaches to it, and it's in your hands, and you know more about it than I. So.
Well, what I will just say briefly is that they'll be done by two different companies. They may be some slight difference in mix or an aggregate, and I think they should all last. But I've always felt like patches never look as good as full paving, obviously, right? And so. I think the quality will be there for both. Interestingly enough, the county required us to pave because of the transition is so far toward the end of the south side of the road that very few people are ever going to see it or drive over it anyway.
Take a lot less traffic.
Yeah, it'll be less traffic, and I think that's a good thing. But you're exactly right. The contractor has a challenge on his hands now. It's December, and he's going to have to try to figure out how to get this done. I have talked to the contractor, who seems to have his preferred providers, and I said, if you can't find an asphalt company that can do this work for you on the coast, you better start calling Portland, you better start calling Salem, you better start calling Eugene, because in my view, the clock is still ticking. So.
Point of order, I've noticed, I don't know how long, but we also have another guest, Leonard Whiteman is now on board.
Great.
Continue with your manager's report.
Well, I've got just one more thing.
On the paving?
Okay,
the paving. Excuse me. Director Gogas?
Down in Lincoln City, down by Salishan, they're still putting out asphalt. S&C, they're paving, and I've seen them out and about. My concern is that our contractor, that he be aware that there's a year's time of service, that it be, that he notes it.
Why don't we discuss that a little later as we can move on. Unfinished business, item number 8.
Well, I actually just had one more thing I wanted to talk about the manager's report. I mentioned that we've got a valve that is unfortunately located on North Kiwanda, And it is right in the heart of the busiest part of town where all our commercial customers are. This valve has actually been broken for a while, but what makes the time right to do the repair is the work they're doing at in the Pelican parking lot with the restroom. They've already opened up the street. So, and of course, this would be a winter time thing anyway, if we're talking about potential service interruptions to key customers. So the time is right to do this. We are still looking at various methods we can do to limit or to minimize the inconvenience to our customers, including backfeeding part of that section of town through the 100K. We're really looking at every option we can come up with to ensure that these outages are as short as possible, and to hopefully, and I am now holding out a lot of optimism for this, but hopefully we find a way to where we can replace this valve without having to isolate it, which means the pressure in the pipeline drops to zero. Anytime that happens, we have to do a boil water notice. Now, of course, boil water notices for restaurants and for hotels are a very delicate issue and very complicated and very not ideal. Let's just put it that way. So, we're still looking at this. We haven't nailed down the date yet. We're going to soon, because we want to do this while that road is still opened up there and that valve is, we don't have to do any road construction to do this right now. But what's of critical importance is that we determine a method, we can be reasonably sure about what to expect, and that we can get notice to these customers just as soon as we possibly can.
How expensive a device is this here we're going to replace?
All we're really doing is replacing a 2.5 inch valve.
Oh.
So the work itself won't take long, but the impacts of the work are the things that
gotcha. That
make us all really nervous.
We already have the valve?
We already have the valve. We've got everything we need.
Was that any of that in part of the master plan of replacing that, some of that work there?
No, this was a valve that a year or two ago was over-tightened and the stem broke. So as long as we never have to use the valve, we're fine. But if we ever do have to use the valve, we're in trouble. And this is a valve that leads directly to one of the large hotels. We would rather fix it instead of, you know, we've got concerns that maybe the gate will drop and it'll shut off flow completely in the middle of the night, and then we're having to tear up the road and people are out of service and people have no warning. It could happen on July 4th weekend. So
let's get it done.
So let's get it done.
So does that provide water then to the hotel across the street? Because they've got their fire system.
This valve leads directly to the hotel on the east side.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Their sprinkler system is on that system then.
Well, it's got a separate service line, and we have no problem with the fire service line.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's the domestic water service line that we have problems with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're thinking the middle of January after the holidays?
We're thinking the middle of January. I want to try to be in a position to give everybody down there notice before Christmas.
So will that hole be still open?
We've been in good communication with the contractors down there. That road's going to be opened up for a while, and we do have some time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have you reached out to the hotel to find out if there's what sort of day of January would be the least impactful for them?
Well, we haven't, because if we lose service, we're going to lose service to both hotels and every restaurant down there.
Right. But like, for instance, a Tuesday would likely be less volume than a Friday.
Yeah, yep. Tuesday and Wednesday mm-hmm. are the slowest days.
So, you know, and there's that Martin Luther King holiday on Monday the 15th. Yep. So it might just be worth finding out if there's, you know, it's going to suck, but how little can it suck compared to anything else?
I think that that's a good idea. We haven't even aren't even nailed down a window yet, but we are targeting mid-January. I think it does make sense to maybe give them a preliminary heads up about this now, see if there's a day that will be least impactful. We've talked about even doing this in the middle of the night as a potential option. And so we're still looking at all those options. For something like this, this is the type of thing I need to reach out to the Oregon Health Authority in advance. Usually when we have a water break and we have a few residential customers with boil water notices, it's okay for me to let them know after the fact. But when we're talking about hotels and restaurants, we're involving the Department of Agriculture and all kinds of entities into these notifications. So, It is something that requires a great deal of thought and planning, and your suggestion's a good one, Sean. I'll reach out to them, and also, too, I know that road is still going to be opened up the way it is through the latter part of January. I mean, if it's still like it is into February, you know, we've got even more time to plan. And
a lot of moving parts.
A lot of them.
So I don't know the exact dates, but I know there is quite a large movie crew coming to film a movie here, and that they have booked rooms in both Headlands and the Inn at Cape Kiwanda, and they will be here in the middle of the week. So I think it would behoove you to contact them
okay.
as soon as possible, and so that they know what's going on and you can come up with a date. So,
yeah.
Well, how would that impact of closing that valve? I mean, you guys sometimes get mud and dirt in there. How would that impact the restaurant part of it?
No, I don't think that would. And like I say, this is a valve that leads to a single hotel. It's just the problem is to depressurize that line. We're going to have to depressurize a greater cross-section of that area of town.
Now, does that go up the hill also for that?
It goes up to Circle, I believe, and then it goes down to a few houses beyond PC Port on the other side. Yeah. So
that affects a big area.
It does. It really does.
Probably my
too bad it doesn't. I mean, with the road closed, that kind of slows things down
yeah.
a little bit.
I mean, this is the type of project I would rather just walk away from until I retire.
Yeah.
And the day before you retire, the whole thing will collapse.
Well, see, and that's what we're worried, because that stem's broke. It's possible that, you know, that valve's still open and supplying water to the hotel, but we're afraid that now we have no support for the gate that's in the valve, and if it drops and seats, we could be in trouble. So, anyway, good suggestions all. That is it for my manager's report, Tom.
Dave, thank you. Item 8, unfinished business, Verizon Cellular Tower proposal. Where are we at with that, John?
Well, last week was a rough week for me with the weather. You know, as you know, I live in on the other side of the Wilson River, so it had a little bit of issue there last week that kind of messed up my schedule. My hope was that I could coordinate a special meeting with the representative from the property company on behalf of the Verizon for the cell phone tower. And I was not able to do that. One reason I wasn't able to do that was not so much between us and him, but because we've got a lot of people that are interested in this. We've got a lot of stakeholders, HOAs. I didn't even realize it until they reached out to me. There's an organization, as I'm sure everybody here knows, called Friends of the PC Airport, who are not overly excited about this prospect, but you know, I think certainly the HOAs in the local areas, I'm talking about Shore Pine, Dory Point, Mistucker Ridge, I think involving some of the leadership of Nestucker Ridge Development to the meeting, I just couldn't pull it together in time. So,
what two areas are they looking at as far?
Well, they proposed two areas. One is on the northeast corner of the lot.
The map was really good in the last board packet.
Yeah.
It's because there was an aerial view with the two locations highlighted.
Yeah.
So that might be a good thing to go back to.
Yeah, I probably have it, but just long story short, one on the south side proposed, one on the north side proposed. I think I've been giving it a lot of thought, and I've gone down there and looked at it and thought about what might be possible down there. And to be honest, the more I look at it, the less I'm convinced we really have a good footprint for it on this property. That's just my, that's the conclusion that I'm starting to come to now that I've taken a closer look at what's proposed and what we got. The preferred location is on the north side of the property. That will require us, and I knew this going in, but that would require us to move the access road into the yard to a different location. I thought perhaps that we could bring that in between our two shop buildings as an alternative, or just move it a little bit further west than it currently is. But I've been reminded that one of those spots is about the only spot we have to park our tanker sledge truck. And the other location, we do have a lot of traffic between those shop buildings with vehicles and with people working on projects and getting parts. And I can see a potential continual traffic conflict with an access point there. Now, if this was something that we were to agree to, they would pay for whatever we needed to do to relocate that. I'm just beginning to think that we just may not have the footprint. Even if conceptually or philosophically, people, you know, we were all in favor of the cell phone tower plan, I'm beginning to question whether we really have the footprint for it on our existing property. So, I did reach out to the representative to give him an update on where we were at, but also to let him know that, I think he knew coming in that this was going to be a hard sell. And I think that probably one of his frustrations is that he usually gets no's every time he reaches out about something like this. I think it would be a good thing to have increased cell phone coverage, more reliable cell phone coverage. But I'll be honest with you. I think to myself, well, look at all the property that Nestucca Development has in that area. And is there potentially a spot that would be still in the same part of town on their property where they might have a better footprint and might be able to have this be less of an eyesore, so to speak?
So I think you're probably right, and it's probably not a good fit for us. But if we do have a meeting and we invite all the stakeholders and stuff, more minds are better, and by having that meeting, we're going to have some people there that might have some good ideas on how we could make that work for our community, even if it's not on our property, but it might work for the community. And so someplace like, you know, in the Stucker Ridge, they own a lot of property and stuff. Who knows? So the more input that we can get, the better chance that we have in putting something together that would benefit everybody.
So, and this isn't really too different than what I was thinking. Even though our property may not be a good fit, we should probably still move forward as planned with the public meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I agree completely.
Is everybody in agreement with that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I will get working on that. I don't know if we'll get it pulled together before Christmas at this point,
no.
But
I wouldn't worry about that part.
But what they have said, what they have assured me is that they don't really have a lot of urgency here. I mean, they have time to they don't need to find a location or make a decision about this within the next 30 days.
So next year we'll be fine.
Soon, but we won't push it off that long. But I'll try to put together something for. Maybe January or February.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. That sounds good.
My suggestion would be to make a decision about whether or not you think it's valid on our property, because to me it doesn't seem to move forward unless we're sure that it's an option, A. And B, $1,000 a month to me doesn't seem like an incentive to do it in the first place. So.
No.
I don't think we're ready to make a decision, though. I think we need to have the meeting. We need to have this gentleman here to be able to ask questions to see how flexible he is. So.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a general geographical footprint that interests them, but I'm quite sure it's a lot bigger than our property boundaries.
Now, what about up on top of PC Heights, up there where the tank's at?
Well, I don't know. I think my impression is it's not so much about height at this point as it is location.
We don't know what options they have already considered
or other
options they are considering. So I think the right thing is let's have the meeting and the discussion. Yeah. We can make a decision, as Sean's suggesting, for PCJWSA, and let the rest of the cards fall where they fall.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if elevation was their key factor, they would have asked about the BLM property.
Right.
And they have not. So I will move forward with that, and we will pull that together. And if there's anybody besides the stakeholders I've mentioned that you feel would be important to at least extend an invite to. I mean, we'll do all the public notification.
We'll do public notice anyway, but
I think that, you know, HOAs in the local area.
Chamber of Commerce. You know, the airport group.
Yep.
CAC.
Yep. I think those are all
the organizational ones anyway.
All good people to invite.
A lot of public notice.
And it wouldn't surprise me if this is our most attended meeting.
Let's just hope
it's a lot
so.
More interesting than a wastewater treatment plant.
If three people show up, it beats the last one.
It sure does.
No kidding. Okay.
But yeah, well, no, that good conversation about that. That was really mainly what I wanted to talk about.
Is Rochelle on board?
Not yet.
No.
Still not. Okay.
No.
Okay, let's move on then. Item 9, new business. The Ruppel Pipeline Project Change Order. Let's just concentrate just on this change order and not about our other stuff. So let's get this out of the way first.
I agree. We have Ruppel listed twice on the agenda, so I think we'll have opportunity to get a little bit more into the weeds. So we had a change order that was approved at the last meeting for the hot tap. We have what I believe will be the last change order of this project. When we put this out to bid, we estimated that 10 utility locate potholes would be necessary.
Would you explain exactly what a locate pothole is?
Yes, so if somebody needs to excavate and they're uncertain, don't have reason to doubt the utility locates that were marked on the ground, I think, as you all know, anytime you dig, you have to call for locates. And when you call for locates, all the utilities come out and locate. What a utility locate pothole is you basically just bore a hole about this big into the ground just to make sure that what you're trying to find or what you're trying to not hit is indeed the case. And it's not unusual for locates to be off a little bit, whether they're ours or anybody else's locate. And with some of the buried infrastructure over there at Ruppel, we got fiber, we got all kinds of stuff in there. The contractor, it's common, in fact, it's almost routinely done, that there are, for projects like this, occasions where the contractor wants to be safe than sorry. And so they do a utility locate pothole just to verify or to not verify whatever paint is on the ground in terms of the locates. Mm-hmm. So that's what they are. We anticipated that there would be the need for some utility locate potholes. We anticipated 10. When you put something out for formal bid, it doesn't matter if you guess it right. You make your estimate, and then everybody bids the job based on that estimate. But sometimes when the job gets going, we realize that we maybe underestimated the number that was needed. In this case, we estimated 10. There was the contractor felt as though they needed to do 32. These locates were actually done early in the project. This was before they broke ground on the pipeline. This was before there was any talk about substantial completion or liquidated damages or anything like that. I feel like this was more than I expected, but I don't want to second guess a contractor who's trying to show an abundance of caution, because the possible outcome, if you hit something, is not good and is could cost far more money than the locate pothole cost.
How many locates did we have?
Well,
how many were done before he did any pothole?
Well, I can tell you that every utility that had infrastructure in Ruppel was supposed to come out and locate. We located all our water lines, but we're not digging potholes to locate them. We're looking at maps and we're listening and we're using metal detectors and a variety of other things to locate both our sewer and our water line. So we had located our sanitary sewer and the water line there, and some of the locates he did was just to verify our markings.
Did he pothole every single one of them?
Well, what's interesting is he told me, and you know, it caught me by surprise, that he is legally required to verify every locate, and not just every locate once, but every locate for a utility for the entire length of the project. Now, that hasn't been my experience. That's not how a lot of other contractors do it when they come to town. They just trust our locates, and if they're wrong and they hit something, it's on us. The contractor told me something that I hadn't encountered before, which is he's obligated to verify every single one, and Andy felt like that's what he did, and then therefore that's why the number's up to 32.
Well, he felt that he was obligated, or is there a rule that says he must?
Well, I tried to look just as a check, more for my information than anything else. I wasn't able to find anything about it. I will say that when it comes to this type of work, he's been doing this for 40 years. He's got to know better than I do, but I was not able to find anywhere anything that mandated that.
When did his change order come in?
Well, I didn't realize that he had needed to do so many potholes until fairly late. It was during their second progress payment. They had, interestingly enough, they had done all the utility potholes, but they only billed for the 10 we allotted for in the first billing, and it wasn't until the second billing where he added on the other 22, which was a little interesting.
Okay, so to make sure I understand this, in the contract, it had 10 potholes, right?
It was estimated.
Estimated
at 10 potholes. There's a big
by contract. Us, not by him.
But in the contract, he knew that, and he knew that it was the number 10 was there, right? And he agreed when he.
Well, you never know what you're going to buy.
Yes, yeah. I understand that.
He bid the job based on 10.
Based on 10, okay. I think there's a huge difference between 10 and 32. If it was 10 and 15, 10 and 16, 10 and something, I would understand it. But 10 and 32 is a big difference. So how much money are we talking about?
We're talking
$10,000.
We're talking at $463 per pothole was what he bid per pothole when he put in the bid and accounted for 10 of them.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that. Well, I find it questionable that he knew that he was being charged $1,000 a day for not having substantial completion. And then here last week, all of a sudden he comes up with another $10,000 bill.
Well, I will say,
I find the timing of that rather interesting.
I will say that interestingly enough, even though he only charges for 10 on the first billing, you remember that attachment I sent out with all the red line markings? He had sent that exact thing already pre-marked on the first billing. why he chose to only charge us for 10 on the first billing and the other 22 on the second, but all 32 were accounted for on that red line markup I shared with you, and he had sent that same red line markup to me on his first billing.
So they were there, they just weren't billed.
They were there, he just didn't pull them into an invoice. And
an accounting error.
And I'll be honest with you, because the communication from the contractor has not been good throughout this whole thing, I wasn't quite sure what I was looking at when he included that with the billing, that drawing with all the red line markups. Now I know what it was supposed to represent. It was the locations and so forth of all the additional potholes he did.
I just think that's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well,
let's call it coincidental.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that the facts show that this wasn't an effort to pad anything. The facts show that because those red line markups were unchanged from the first billing to the second billing, that he had already told us about 30. He had already
notified us.
Well, in his way, kinda. Like I say, he could have just told me what it was I was looking at instead of making it me figure it out for myself. But this was substantially before any discussion of substantial completion deadlines or these. So, you know, I think we can question why it needed so much more. I just need to be a tad bit careful that I don't put pressure on contractors to not do too many potholes, and then they wind up hitting something, and you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Well, this in my mind, this doesn't pull favorably if there are other jobs out there, and we're going to be having other jobs out there.
Well, and I don't have anything to compare to, because myself, this is the first pipeline replacement large-scale project we've done. It's the first formal bid process that I've encountered here at the authority. It's my first contact and my first time working with this contractor.
Last time, I hope.
Seems as though it's working differently than contractors you've worked with in previous lives.
I've never seen an approach from a contractor to a contract like this in my life.
Okay. So I'm prepared to make a motion if we are ready to move on.
All right, Anna.
I'll move that we approve the change order as presented by Mr. Wesley to increase the cost of the project by $10,186 for a total contract price of $446,290.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the Whirlpool Pipeline project change order as presented by Mr. Wesley. Are there any further discussion? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
So we have four ayes and one nay. Motion carried. We'll move on to item 9B, public meeting schedule.
Yes, as you all know, I've postponed the public meetings for the master plans and for the second meeting as well that we wanted to eventually pull together for the BLM property and the water conservation plan. I told you why I did that. I feel I'm in a much better spot, not only to find creative ways to get notifications out about this meeting, but also so that I can utilize the tools here at the Kiwanda Center with proficiency. The only thing to me worse than putting a meeting together that nobody comes to is putting a meeting together that everybody comes to and then I fumble around and look like I don't know what I'm doing.
Not being prepared.
Do you think we can tie it in with the phone? We got all the people.
Well, I can tell you.
We want to keep these meetings as focused as possible.
And I can tell you that if we're going to cover both our water and wastewater master plan in one meeting, it's already going to be aggressive.
That's, yeah.
So, you know, I made a commitment. It's not the thing I'm most excited about, but I made a commitment that this is what we need to do. It's what the board wants me to do. It's what our customers deserve. And we're gonna move forward with this. I have not picked a date for the second meeting, but the Water and Wastewater Master Plan meeting, I'd like to target Wednesday, February 21st as that day. I know that sounds like it's a long time away. It is not.
Wednesday,
February 21st.
What time?
That would be at, I think what we had decided was 5 to 7.
I think so.
I think that's what, I'm trying to remember what our original intent was. I think our original intent was, might have even been 4 to 6. No, it would have been 5
to
7.
I think it was 5 to 7 because yeah. Local people that have businesses that close at 5,
work.
Not all of them do.
Get
but
work.
At one point it was a Saturday meeting, so I think we had a different
Might have been. Well, what do you guys think about a weekend day as opposed to a weekday evening? I think we're going to have more likely attendance on a weekday evening than on a weekend. I don't know that for sure. I mean, I think about two things. If it's a weekend, absentee homeowners may be at their properties, but also if it's at a weekend, full-time property owners may be somewhere else.
Right.
So
after many years of scheduling many, many meetings, and we have all done this, I'm not sure that there is a perfect answer to that question. I think we just have to use our collective best judgment and pick something and go with it.
Are we pretty good as far as the building here?
Well, this far in advance, I'm sure we're good, but I will check it. This is my proposed target date. Wanted to bounce it off everybody here. If everybody feels as though that's a good day, a potentially good day and a good time, then I will take the next steps, reach out to the Kiwanda Center and make sure everything's...
Great.
But I think that we'll be okay with it.
Nick? Anything more on that?
Don't think so.
Okay, let's move into item 9C, roof contract issues. As you know, there are quite a few. And it was my understanding that Director Carlton had some specific items that he'd like to mention. I'll open the floor to him.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Sean, let me just preface it. This was something that I debated about whether to put on the agenda or whether something, as I initially chose to do, to put on give an update about it on the manager's report. When Sean indicated to me that he was interested potentially in discussing it, well, then I was thinking, I knew I should have put this on the agenda. And so the late entry or the late addition to the agenda was my fault and nothing that Sean did. I should have went with my first instinct and put it on the agenda.
Well, I thought it was because Tom and I had talked previous to that.
I thought we were going to end up talking about it in the manager's report.
Yeah, well, I would have until I made it an agenda item.
Yeah.
So, because I think that there's an interest to have an exchange about it. And Sean, hopefully I didn't put you on the spot here, but if there's, if you'd like to let the group know if there's what you're thinking or...
Sure. I think we're all concerned about how long it took for this project to get started. And I think, that still concerns me. I guess I have a couple of thoughts. One, aside from all of the back and forth and the delays and things we're not happy about, is the quality of the work good? So did they do a good job of actually doing the work? And the reason I ask that question is because, we had, my recollection is we had exactly one bid for this project. Is that right?
We had two bids, but only one responsible bid, meaning they fulfilled all our requirements for their bid package.
So I worry that, I think we need to have, my philosophy would be, I think we need to have some resolution to why it took so long to get this project started. But I wonder if there's a way of sort of finding a middle ground so that for future projects, this could pretend, maybe you already decided you don't ever want to use this contractor again. But I worry that we get to, if we're too picky about things, we won't have anybody who's willing to do any work for us. And it's more a matter of just we're remote, we're in the middle of nowhere. COVID is a nightmare. I can tell you personally that there are supply chain issues that make my head spin. It makes life incredibly difficult. We're constantly rescheduling things, having to shuffle schedules. It's an absolute nightmare. And so, I'd hate to see us get caught up in litigation, and I wonder if there's just, a middle ground to where, can we hold his feet to the fire but still have the potential to have him available for future work if the quality of the work was good? Is there a way to kind of, get together and say, hey, look, there were all sorts of problems with this. Is there a way to move forward where we can all be happy, we can get some compensation for it not happening the way that we wanted it to, and find a way to do better the next time around. I guess that's just kind of what my thought process is. I just hate to see us litigate the hell out of this and not have anybody who ever wants to work for any of our projects again.
Kind of like a mediation?
I don't know. It was just my thought process.
Director Kathy?
So I think that you're right that we need to be careful what we do, and I don't want to needlessly antagonize people. But by the same token, when someone doesn't do a good job and they don't follow through with what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it, we can't reward them for that. You can't reward people for bad behavior. And so if there's a middle ground where we can come up with some kind of a compromise where they understand that they did not meet our goals, maybe goals isn't the right word.
Expectations.
Without penalizing them severely, but yet they understand that this isn't okay. Because if you do want to hire them again, and they think, well, you know, we were able to do this, that, and everything before, what we can do this, that, this time too. I think it's important that John is able to evaluate the quality of the work and say that the work itself was good, met or exceeded our expectations. That's the number one criteria. And then we need to look at how we're going to work with them. We are responsible for the people we serve. And, you know, they pay every month for this utility. And we're responsible for providing the best service that we possibly can and overseeing their money.
I've got a question, kind of along what you're saying. How can John judge whether a good job or B, not so well? I mean, how can we grade it? I mean, is there a way for you to time?
Well, what is the absolute pipeline and the hookups and everything? Yeah,
right.
Well, I can tell you that the quality of the work was good. It just got started way too late, in my view. In a very overly complacent.
So it made the domino effect, basically.
But I will say the quality of the work is good. Now, one thing to keep in mind, the work's not over yet. So, but I can tell you, and I know this because that pipeline passed the pressure test the first time.
That's pretty...
Well, imagine how many connections there are on a 1,700 feet of pipe and 45 service lines that are coming off of that. I was amazed that that pipeline passed the pressure test the first time.
That's good.
And the quality of the work is not my issue. My issue, and I think that everybody here knows, was with this job, it was crucial that this job stayed on schedule.
Right.
So.
Well, and that's the thing, because it didn't stay on schedule, and the rain started, and they had flooding along that road and everything, the whole thing has caused a great deal of anguish with the people that live on Rupel, and John has heard from people that are not happy. I know people on there that are not happy, and perhaps some of them would never be happy, but some of the problems and the hard feelings are because of how long it took him to get started and how long it took to get it finished, and going into the rainy season causing even more problems
and delays.
Kathy, I'm glad you brought that up, but I'll reserve my comments. Ann, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm just kind of listening to both Sean and Kathy, that, and I'm glad to hear that the quality of the work is good, because mm-hmm. that bottom line, we need to know and be confident that the repair, the work is going to work. But in terms of where we are now with this project, any penalties that we will put in place are in the contract. So we're not negotiating penalties. They're in the contract, right?
Well, what I can say is that penalties are accruing. It's not uncommon for not every penalty to be assessed. So,
okay.
Who makes that judgment?
Well, in this case, if this isn't the board of directors' decision, then I don't know what is.
Yes. So you would come to the board with a proposal on that subject, and we don't need to go into the details right now. Please.
I would. I just want to say two things as we're talking about this. One, Earthworks is planning to appeal. I have now denied their contract extension request and made it clear to them that their rebuttal was unconvincing.
Right.
And I did have a meeting with the owner of the company this morning. It's a weekly check-in meeting. Unfortunately, he's missed more of them than he's made, but he was there this morning. And I asked him, are you planning to appeal to the board, and if so, what method would you like that to be? He's planning a written appeal, because I didn't know if his rebuttal was his appeal. I didn't know
right.
that. I've nailed that down. But what I want to say is we will have to, as a board, consider his written appeal later on, so we
right.
shouldn't get too ahead of ourselves.
Let's not
now.
Get into those weeds right now.
And at some point in time, the board has to make a decision once the liquidated damages stop accruing.
Right.
The board will have to make a decision on whether they want to impose all of them, a portion of them, or none at all. And I've seen it done all three ways.
Okay.
So just because they're accruing doesn't mean they're assessed. There will come a time for the board to make that decision,
okay.
and I'll give you my 2 cents worth at the time.
Will that be done
okay,
in executive
so
session?
No.
Okay. Then thank you for that, and that's sort of laying out where we're going to be going in the next month or two, something
yes.
like that. And then the other thing that came up in the conversation is the question of whether or not we would work with this contractor again. And I don't think that we want to put ourselves in a position of saying that we would not. I mean, that just doesn't seem to be a reasonable position for lots of reasons. But the other thing that might be helpful when this is all done and the ink is dried and the payments are made and it's all finished, it might be useful to do what we referred to in my previous life as a postmortem on a major event.
After action report.
That's probably a nicer way to say it. But to sit down for you, to sit down with the contractor and say, you know, something to the effect of, let's go through this from start to finish. And let's talk about how it went or didn't go well. And so that we're not just, I mean, I honestly don't think it would be good for the authority to put any local contractor in a position of we will never work with you
no.
again.
Sure.
I don't think
sure.
anybody's really suggesting that.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's to spite your face.
I think,
yeah.
yes, exactly. And so I want to leave that door wide open. But I do think because of the experience, it would be very useful, again, when all the ink is dried, to get some distance on it and then sit down and have that meeting.
Cameron, you had another comment?
Well, when I got the letter and saw everything in red and then scrolled down and see more in red, and I had talked to Sean about it, I said, don't worry about the stuff in white because you just want to read the stuff in red because it's not pretty. And then the conversation with Tom, and Tom had come up with a good idea about reimbursement to the customers. I'm sure you're going to talk about that, or do you want to talk about that later?
Yeah, I think later. Uh-huh. This not time to do it now, because things are still accruing. The job's not finished, so we really can't talk about anything like that until after the job is done. But I did want to comment on Kathy's comment. The one big problem that we have here. Because of this situation and the lackadaisical way that our contractor went about performing his duties is our poor customers. And we did them a great disservice by not getting this contractor off his tail and get this done correctly. And our customers are justifiably angry at us. They can be, we are a small community, and I have a great deal of confidence in this community and care about it a lot. So I give a local contractor, the benefit of the doubt sometimes, but this was such a disruption for our customers and what I would consider a very poor attitude by this contractor.
And people aren't upset with the contractor. They're upset with us.
I know. Exactly. I know. It's our fault. We hired this guy. And he did, the timeline and his attitude about he may have done a good job, but he just got everybody in town pissed at us. I'm sorry. I have a real problem with this. But as far as... as far as his obligations, he certainly did not meet them. We've all followed your letters of rebuttal to the contractor. What's his last name?
They're drafts.
This one was a draft.
Yeah, these are not.
I mean, all the other
documents because they haven't been set. Mm-hmm.
But be that as it may, I think your arguments that you presented to us in rebuttal to his rebuttal were sound.
Valid.
And valid. So we will, whenever this accrual finishes, whenever he finishes this job, and it gets down to counting pennies and how we're going to reimburse him for the last part of this job, we need to at least force our opinion upon the gentleman that he made half the town mad at us because of his poor behavior. And that's the point we've got to make. And we assess and we look at any assessments after that with that in strong consideration. And that's all I have to say about it.
Well, and if I could just...
That will come out in the...
Just to piggyback just a little bit, I think it is the customers. I started sending our customers... The first letter I sent them was a year ago last October, just because I didn't want the uncertainty. I didn't want the inconvenience.
Right.
And you're right, Tom. When you... we're the ones that will get whatever blame that our customers might be feeling, and it is important because when you lose trust, confidence with your customers, it takes a long time to get that back.
Yes.
It takes a long time to get that back, and so. That's something that I've been very dismayed about as well. I do also agree with Sean. We need to approach this. I'm tempted to approach this with my heart and instead of my head, because that's where I feel things. And, you know, I do think it is worthy of taking a step back, thinking about this with our heads, and realizing that if we don't have any contractors bid on our jobs anymore, that's going to be a serious problem too. Now I do want to say that it doesn't mean that we want to settle for poor performance by contractors.
For sure.
Exactly.
But you know, I will say that, you know, this is a local business. They've been around a long time. You know, I don't think we want to do anything to discredit or hurt anybody's reputation, and we sure don't want to see somebody lose money on a job. But I do believe there has to be consequences for the things we've seen.
This is not our first rodeo with liquidated damages on major projects.
Okay. All right. Well.
And one final thing, we were extremely lucky with the weather patterns. Time was of the essence. We wanted to get this done before summer was out, you know, early fall, because of the situations. October and November are normally our major storms. These atmospheric river thing that we just started to experience last week was held off through most of that, because we usually have lots of wind storms, and so our contractor and we were very darn lucky that those weather patterns held off because of El Nino. So we can thank our lucky stars that it wasn't worse than it already is. So that's the last thing I have to say. Cameron?
Do you think at this time, I don't know, John, to send out an apology letter or something in the paper?
No.
Afterwards?
That's admitting that we did something wrong.
Well, that's a legal thing.
Well, when the project is all over, we can have whatever discussions.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel I do. I just...
I know.
Well, one thing that I do want... Two final points I have is, one, I don't see how that we can compromise on a contract extension, because finally got substantial completion done. That was one contract runtime. The next contract runtime is final completion, which involves restoring the road. And our customers do not want to see 3 or 4 months pass till we get into the springtime weather before this road is restored.
Right.
If that were to happen, then I think that they would be far, far angrier, or far more, let's not say angry, dissatisfied than they currently are.
That road's just going to get worse.
Yeah, so I don't think considering any contract extension is the way to go, because our customers aren't going to like it, and I can tell you who they're going to call. It's going to be this guy. So that's one point I wanted to make. The other point is on that rebuttal, or on my rebuttal to his rebuttal. I want everybody to know here that I wrote that as much for the benefit of the board as I did for Earthworks.
Right.
So this is something I don't even really have to send at this point.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
Just let it die.
And that's why I didn't send it.
And then deal with it.
But I will say I told it like it was, but this was really as much for your benefit, so you could formulate your opinions based on the facts as I know them. And so as long as we have that realization, I'm good with just tucking that away.
I have full confidence in your judgment and your ability to proceed.
Yep. Well, thank you.
Hold on file.
And thank
file
you for that. I think that was great for us to see that draft response. Yeah.
All righty. Well, if there aren't any more discussions on item 9C, we'll move on to questions and comments. Did we have any letters from constituents?
No, the only comment we got was, as I say, from the Friends of PC Airport about the proposed cell phone tower.
Okay, thank you. So, Chair, Director, comments? Cameron.
I've got it. Did we have any damage to our discharge line with all the floods and the log coming down?
No. And I did try to make a call just to report that to somebody. I found my way. I wasn't even sure I called the right place. I found my way to somebody's voicemail. I left a voicemail. I never heard back. You're talking about the log out here. I haven't made any headway with that. I'm not sure if anybody would even do anything if I was sure I notified the right person. It seems to be hung up on those pilings, and I hope it stays there.
So there's nothing in the discharge that you're having any backflow or nothing on that? So.
Nothing on that. I think our concern was is with the water as high as it was, and that snag as big as it was, we didn't want it to hook one of our water sewer lines on its way
into. Yeah, because you don't know what's down beneath it.
Yeah.
The beaver, I just wanted to let you know, the beaver fence field, the fence is down from that wreck.
Is this a recent thing? Or
yeah.
I wasn't aware of a wreck.
There was a wreck there on the property. It popped down, I think, 3 fence posts.
All right, I'll have to make a note of that.
It's on the south end of the property.
And so it's along 101, obviously, right?
Okay. It's a pull-off.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We'll check it out. I was not aware. So we'll definitely have somebody go out there and take a look at it and get it repaired.
And I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Be safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm just wondering, do you do anything special for the staff for Christmas?
Well, we have, about the only thing we do is we do a what do you call it when you pick a name? A Secret Santa.
Yeah, Secret Santa.
We do a Secret Santa, and we have a lunch scheduled for next week where we, you know, have a little lunch with the group as a dinner celebration, and then we pass out our gifts.
Oh, well, nice. Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Well, what I, you know, like to say that we've had a really good year. We've had many challenges, and we've plowed right through them, still working on them. I think we have a fantastic crew here. We have a very good board of officers. We've had our ups and downs, but we can discuss and work our way through all those ups and downs. So I personally would like to thank every member of the board for all your efforts last year. And I have a small gift for you. But, you know, I'd like to point out that as public entity, you know, you really can't compensate for a good year, for lack of a better expression, to our employees. Because it's just the nature of the business. We're a public entity. So I took it upon myself to come up with a small token of my personal appreciation to each of our staff, and I'm going to leave those with John to...
Well, how wonderful.
Nice.
How
wonderful. In the meantime, I have... Well, I'm going to do it differently. Here, Kathy, here is just a little something of my token of my appreciation.
Oh, thank you.
And let's see, where is I got one for Ann.
How very thoughtful. Thank you, Tom.
We appreciate that.
And Sean and Cameron, would you pass those down?
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
And John, these are all for the staff.
Well, thank you.
Sir. Thank you. I will hand those to them.
I sure will, and I'll give them your compliments. Thank you, Tom.
Oh, awesome.
And there's a couple extra there if you want to give out to.
Great. Thanks, Tom.
Very nice.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Very cool. Mr. Donahue, I'd like to invite you to my house for a session we had probably about 8 months ago.
Oh, yeah?
You remember?
Yeah, I can't remember what that liquor was, but it was working.
Perhaps
we're still in session.
Perhaps we should adjourn.
Maybe
I'll be acquiring
hold that
one.
Discussion until we adjourn.
Are there any other comments from the chair or director? Okay. Hearing none, it is now 6:24 p.m. Meeting adjourned.